Whether Saddam Hussein or the sanctions are to blame for Iraq's water quality, the lack of development extends beyond Iraq's borders. Despite billions of dollars in oil revenue, a United Nations Development Program study says much of the Islamic world is taking a step back in time. Nathan King has more.
Islamic art, culture, and society have had a tremendous impact on the history of the world. To get a feel of just how much, you can come here to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York and take a tour of their unparalleled Islamic art section.
Islamic art has been produced in a very large part of the world that goes from Spain all the way to India.
Tiles from mosques in Iran, ancient doors from Mesopotamia, ornate calligraphy and beautifully woven rugs. Over a millennia of artifacts that influenced everything from Western thought to the written word. But in the last 40 years, culture from the Islamic and Arab worlds has been on the decline. A recent report by the United Nations Development Programme paints a bleak picture. It's the first study of its kind of the whole Arab world. It's written by Arab intellectuals and concludes that the region is being crippled.
And we are in the final analysis, as we try to conclude, is that we are a rich nation of poor people.
Dr. Clovis Maksoud, one of the authors of the study, used to represent the Arab League at the United Nations, and he highlights an apparent contradiction. Billions of dollars in oil revenue has meant declining poverty, higher life expectancy, and more education spending than anywhere else in the developing world. But many Arab societies are stagnating. Gross domestic product in many countries is now declining. Income growth is sinking to African levels. Unemployment is on the rise, and intellectually, the region is stifled.
Newspapers and magazines in the Arab world that are now immigrant magazines and newspapers in London and Paris and otherwise. And that is why the lack of a climate of freedom makes it difficult for creative and innovative undertakings.
In short, the report finds that the lack of religious and political freedom in Arab societies has taken a heavy toll on the cultural life of the Middle East. Cairo, once the cultural capital of writers in the region, now struggles to publish more than a handful of new works a year. And, says the report, interest in what the outside world writes is also waning. The whole Arab world now translates just over 300 books a year. Nearby Greece translates over 1,200. Although the report does stress the region has vast differences, with Kuwait, Qatar and Bahrain making strides towards more openness and inclusion, as a whole, the region's development is backsliding. And though the report was compiled before the September 11th terror attacks, its publication has created intense interest, not least from American commentators who have seized on the report's findings. Many see the lack of freedom, increase in poverty, and the lure of Islamic fundamentalism as underlying reasons as to why the US was attacked. Dr. Maksoud says this has been unhelpful.
Many people in the aftermath of September 11th in the Western world, especially in the United States, thought that this goes to prove a point where they wanted to dub Islam or Islamic fundamentalism as if it is the carrier of violent activities. And that was not neither the intention nor the purport nor the conclusion to be drawn.
Some Arab commentators say the United States has helped stifle Arab intellectual development by supporting authoritarian regimes in the region who lack popular support. Khalil Matar is a correspondent with Middle East Broadcasting.
Up until a few years ago, it was only one reason, and that was the Arab regimes didn't want the Arab intellectual to grow and speak his mind. Today, it's two reasons. The United States does not want the Arab intellectual to grow up and speak his mind because they know very well that the Arab intellectual is against their policies. So they don't want to show that the Arab street is against their policies. They want to claim that the Arab regimes are against it, the tyrants are against their policies.
The report's authors say the Arab world feels stifled and monitored, whether it be by governments, foreign powers, or Islamic fundamentalists. The rhetoric generated by the Israeli-Palestinian conflict also stifles creativity. Increased democracy would do much to unleash that creativity across the region, says the report, and it applauds recent moves by Bahrain and Kuwait, But while many in the Arab world want American-style freedoms, Khalil Matar says many don't want the consumerism that goes with it.
Yes, there is a yearning throughout the Arab world for democracy, but not the American style of democracy, because they would consider it either too open that allows too many interferences. On the other hand, they want the freedom of speech, they want the freedom of action, which they're getting some of lately, although it's not as much as they wish, but it is there. Yes, there is a yearning for democracy, but not the American way of democracy.
As serious as the democratic deficit across the region, says the UN, is the almost total exclusion of women. Half of all Arab women cannot read or write. Mortality rates among Arab women are 4 times that of Asian women. And the report concludes that the region is depriving itself of the creativity and productivity of half its citizens. The report also says that there's a growing wave of nostalgia across the region, a harking back to the past, when the Arab world and its culture were forces in the world. This report by Arabs for Arabs urges an age of reform, so that Arab culture doesn't just mean visiting a museum to marvel at antiques from an Arab golden age a long time ago.
And that later on in the 18th century in France will be called the Arabesque, that is, in the way of the Arabs.
Nathan King, Common Ground Radio, New York.